This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake.
On today's show, Will and Jake get ridiculously raw as they talk about Raw's WrestleMania card. We're just a few days away from WrestleMania, and it has never been a better time to be a ProWrestling.net member. Head over to ProWrestling.net and check out our special WrestleMania Week membership sale. What a sale during WrestleMania Week. I'm not even freaking kidding, you guys. You can get our WrestleMania review where I, Will Pruitt, Jake Barnett, and Jason Powell sit down and review the show. You're going to get coverage of all the events. You're going to get Zach Zimmerman's live blogs and live takes and all of that. You are going to get so much WrestleMania coverage. Go to ProWrestling.net. Sign up for membership today and tell your friends. It's a great time to get in. Jake, as people listen to this, it is the Friday before WrestleMania. One of the top 3 days before WrestleMania, I would say, that I can come up with.
Yeah, definitely in the top five.
Wow, top five. You're really big on Wednesdays.
Yeah, if you're going to have a list, I think it's kind of tough to cut it off at three, right? Doesn't quite look right on paper.
That's probably true. We're here to talk about the Raw portion of the WrestleMania card, and let's launch into it because Raw is far more represented on this show than SmackDown, which isn't all that surprising. Let's start with the pre-show. Neville against Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship. Is this a case where the babyface wins, or do you think moving it to the pre-show sort of signaled, hey, we'll let a little cheapness happen here because, man, we can get Neville and Aries in their real feud with Aries on the chase, say, for the next couple months?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter scenario. I don't expect Aries to win here. I think they put this match together in a couple of weeks, and I think it was the match that had the most star power that they could put together in this division for WrestleMania, outside of having one of the, you know, everybody on the show ladder matches or something, which I thought was like the second most likely possibility for this one. But I think we're going to see a great match. I think Aries and Neville, have a huge amount of talent, and hopefully they have, you know, good chemistry in the ring together, and we'll see something fantastic. Because in terms of, you know, in-ring experience and you know, just overall talent, I can't pick any other two, you know, members of this division that you'd want to have in a singles match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's really hard to come up with the people that I would put in a singles match over Aries and Neville. It's hard to think of guys that I think deserve it more than those two. I find them to be immensely talented, really good at the wrestles. And I agree. I think this is the part of the pre-show where a heel goes over and you try and parlay that story into something further down the line, another pay-per-view or even a very special episode of 205 Live. Let's move on to the Dre. You said yesterday you don't see a SmackDown superstar winning it, so I'm going to list the Raw superstars now. Big Show, Braun Strowman, Goldust, R-Truth, Primo, Epico, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, Jinder Mahal, Sami Zayn, Mark Henry, Sin Cara, Titus O'Neil. Is this Epico's year?
I think we're looking at Braun Strowman's year all the way, 100%. Yeah, the amount of effort that they've put into establishing him as a monster and how successful they've been at it, I think it would be a huge mistake to put him in a battle royal at this point, especially with, you know, the kind of talent he's in there with, and just have him lose. You know, that to me would be, you know, a miscarriage of justice in some sense, because there's just nobody, I mean, aside from Big Show, who, you know, always could, I guess, pull it out just because of his star power. I don't know who else you would pick. So I'm going with Braun, and dark horse being, you know, Jinder Mahal, if his biceps just crowd everybody out of the ring immediately.
He's got a lot of veins. They need room. Everyone's just going to jump out. They're sentient now, actually. They will choke you.
Self-aware. Yep. Definitely.
I actually don't think this is Braun Strowman's. I think they use this moment to go back to the Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn feud at the tail end and you get Sami Zayn managing to withstand an assault from Braun Strowman and winning the Dre. I also think that what you end up with is kind of a happiness sandwich here with a little bit of sadness in the middle, where you get Naomi wins the title. Yay! Austin Aries doesn't get it done because Neville's a cheater. Boo! And then Sami wins the Dre to bring you forward into the actual WrestleMania card. I think that could be kind of the balance they try and strike here. I believe there is a reason that Sami's been in Raw opening segments, and there's a reason Sami has kind of had a lot of moments with high profile characters, and they seem to be making him one. And I would say it's this journey to the Dre, and that Braun will have a really strong showing, but ultimately Sami's going to win it.
Interesting. I guess I don't think that WWE views Sami Zayn in the way that you do.
No one views Sami Zayn like I do. He is truly the Shane McMahon of my heart.
Yeah, he's I think they view him as a guy who is extremely capable of getting other people over. And I don't know if they view him as being a guy they would put in a position to win this type of match at WrestleMania. But I would be pleasantly surprised if they told the story that you're describing. I just think they feel like they had they probably took something off of Braun Strowman at Fastlane, and now they want to put it back. But we'll see. I mean, I think equally likely scenarios. So
the truth is, I've had worse ideas.
So have I. Much worse.
A triple threat ladder match is happening because ladders were the most convenient weapon on Monday night. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson are defending the titles against Enzo Amore and Big Cass and Cesaro and Sheamus. Jake, it's a ladder match for the tag team titles. Am I crazy that I just, like, at this point, I just have the Hardys penciled in as the winners of this somehow?
I mean, it's not impossible. Last minute crazy additions like that are what make WrestleMania kind of fun in some instances. So I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if we see the Hardys. I would almost imagine that would be a Monday after WrestleMania kind of thing to really, give that post Mania crowd something to go crazy over. But honestly, it's a ladder match. Okay. I mean, the tag division on Raw has been so subpar to me that I have a hard time getting excited about it, but I'm hoping we see Gallows and Anderson retain.
Enzo Amore survive this match?
Oh man,
because he's gonna get thrown off of a lot. He is going to take, like, if out of like big bumps on this show, Shane McMahon will take the biggest, but Enzo's gonna take like the Shane McMahon Jr. bump.
You think so? Like, I guess I don't know. We'll see. He's definitely the one guy in the match who you think, would be the guy to fling himself off of something. Because everybody else,
Cass might just throw him off of a ladder for fun. That's most of their offense.
That's true. I guess Enzo. And I think Triple H even said this recently, believe it or not. They're well aware of his limitations in the ring. So I hope they don't ask him to do something too crazy.
Yeah, but is he limited at falling?
No. Yeah. No, that's true. Unless he's running towards the ropes, then he had that problem that one time.
Oh, that was really sad. Oh, now I'm bummed out. cheer me up. Talk to me about Chris Jericho against Kevin Owens for the United States Championship.
This is going to be really fun. I mean, I know, there's people who, at least I've been reading, who are kind of down on Chris Jericho for whatever reason, since he's been doing kind of this babyface shtick stuff. But I don't know what else you'd have him do, like, they had such a good thing when they were both, doing the Friends Forever act. And I think there was some positives and negatives to that. But I think this, Chris Jericho did what he had to do to get this match over. And I think Kevin Owens was very good in return. And I think he's been much more violent since he turned on Chris Jericho, which has been a lot more interesting to watch, from my perspective. So I think we're going to see Kevin Owens win here. I don't know if we're going to see him become a long-term U.S. champion or if they have other plans for him. But it seems like this angrier version of Kevin Owens will have more success as a singles wrestler than the guy that they put the Universal Championship on that ended up just being kind of a comedy heel.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the promos leading up to this match, actually. Even Jericho, who I didn't like as a comedy heel with Kevin Owens, I've gotten a kick out of some of the fans of Jericho cheer me on, man. Like, the way he's transitioned some of it into a babyface act, I've enjoyed. I want to see this match, and I did not expect to want to see this match. I think it's going to be pretty good. I don't think it'll be great. I don't know if Chris Jericho's capable of great these days, but I think it will be pretty good. The fans will be into it, and that's more than I thought I'd be saying at this point, or more than I thought I'd be saying 2 months ago when we first started. So I'm with you. Owens wins. Jake, we got a fatal four-way elimination match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Bayley is defending against Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. First and foremost, what do you think of this being an elimination match and not a straight just fatal four-way?
I think it kind of makes it more interesting in some ways because it sets up, odd relationships in the match because you don't think you're going to see two heels and two baby faces, kind of ganging up on one another. I think with elimination, I'm assuming we're going to see Charlotte go out first. As surprising as that may be to some.
Really? I was going to call Bayley out first.
No, I think the way this has been going on television, I think we're going to see Sasha and Bayley beat the final two, and Sasha being the one to end Bayley's title run, at least in that's the way I see it.
I thought Sasha would eliminate. Sorry, now we're just talking about how we fantasy book this match. I kind of thought something very similar, but Sasha eliminates Bayley towards the beginning of the match in a moment where Bayley thinks Sasha's on her side. They're in the ring alone and hits the backstabber, the bank statement. Bayley has to tap and leaves WrestleMania a sad and dejected human out for vengeance at some point.
Yeah, I guess I could go down that road. Are you expecting Charlotte to walk away with the title again? Or is that where...
I do expect Sasha to walk away with the title. I think they're kind of setting up for it. I think they'll maybe use Nia and Charlotte to eliminate each other. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure what you do with Nia Jax to make her look like a monster, but how you also leave with Sasha coming out of this as, kind of the main heel, and what you do with Charlotte in that scenario as well, because I don't think Charlotte is destined for a babyface run anytime soon. It's really weird how you'd have Bayley and all heels on that Raw roster at this point.
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to swing. I mean, I guess with Bayley, I was sort of imagining her being the one to take Charlotte out early as a measure of revenge for their past pay-per-view encounters, or you'd even have Nia Jax take Charlotte out. But and then you have, it becomes like, okay, well, Bayley and Sasha have to find a way to take down Nia Jax, and then they manage to do so, but immediately afterwards you get the betrayal, and then it becomes sort of this interesting final moments of the match. But I can definitely see them going about it the way that you described as well. I mean, there's a lot to be said to to eliminating Bayley early on and having it be something where she kind of gets left out of her own party. But there's a lot of ways to cook an egg, and we're just kind of arguing over it at this point.
So, important questions for this match: is Nia Jax like most girls?
Definitely not. No, she is. That's the one thing she makes very clear from early on.
Really, from the second you see her, you're like, she's not like most girls. It really is maybe the best theme song on this entire show.
It's good music, yeah.
Yeah. Really, everyone but Charlotte has great entrance music in this match.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nobody that has bad music, at least. I mean,
but Charlotte's is a weird synthesized like techno version of also Sprock Sathura. I don't need that garbage in my life. Give me some of that sweet, happy Bailey music.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sasha's music is great. I thought what they did last year with Snoop Dogg was fantastic.
Oh, that was great.
They can't, obviously they can't replicate that without him, but it's good music. And Bailey's, of course, is just, you know, shiny and happy and everything that makes her character great. So
there ain't no stopping her now.
No. Poor Shelton Benjamin.
What if there was ever a mashup of those two? Like, if Bailey and Shelton Benjamin were in a weird mixed tag together for some reason.
Then there you go.
Now, I'd be about that.
That could actually happen, given that Shelton's on his way back and there could be a draft. You never know.
Yeah, I want this. This is my new goal. Bailey and Shelton Benjamin, just so it's like, there ain't no stopping. Ain't no stopping me. Yeah. Anyways.
I'd be very confused, but yes, it would be funny.
Yes. Now we're on to kind of the big three matches on Raw. Let's start with what I think is the least compelling WrestleMania main event maybe of my life. Goldberg against Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Goldberg, by the way, miserable. Just hates this. Really, this is all garbage. He does not want to be here, Jake. How funny was that Goldberg interview?
Not good. not good at all.
He's living what sucks about that. Imagine being, you know, a wrestler who's kind of bought into the WWE dream. One day you might turn 50, get a part-time schedule, and get to main event WrestleMania. And that's your goal. That's what you're working towards. And Goldberg got to like walk slowly into it at backstage while hitting his head on things and was like, I despise this. This sucks. What? What a garbage human.
Yeah, he essentially, you know, negotiated his way into this deal where he got to come back and be a part of WrestleMania at, you know, an age where I think he would have to know, you know, the kind of physical toll it would take in some respects. You know, he keeps in pretty good shape, obviously, and he obviously, you know, he's working hard to get in even better shape since he initially returned. But I mean, you know, 50 years old, your body just isn't capable of doing what it used to do. And it's remarkable that with a little bit of HGH and testosterone, you know, you can get yourself back into you know, what looks like pretty good shape, but you just don't have the stamina, you know, you don't. And unfortunately for Goldberg, it's very obvious that, you know, he walks from the locker room out to the arena and he's
winded,
puddles of sweat, and yeah, he's winded. You know, it's just like, oh man, like, it's just not, he doesn't look like he's enjoying himself at all. And that obviously became clear in that interview where it's like, this isn't fun for him. I mean, he has fun being playing the role of a superhero and taking the WWE Universal title to his kid's school and being the champion, and that he likes being the champion. He doesn't want to, you know, do the work that it takes to be a good champion. And hopefully that means, you know, we're going to see, you know, Lesnar win here. And then on Monday, keep your fingers crossed. Lesnar's like,
now I'm the hardest working wrestler in a match. What's up, everybody?
Yeah, he hurdled a very low bar to reach that victory. But Monday after WrestleMania on Raw, yeah, maybe we'll see a title defense and a little Goldberg interference, and we'll end up with one of the full timers carrying that forward, because that would be the best of all worlds, really.
Full timers with the title? That's impossible.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. I mean, just given WrestleMania season tends to be the part-timer jamboree, and unfortunately this one was no exception.
Yeah, not compelled by this match, not really into the angle. Find Goldberg's misery amusing, which probably makes me a bad person. I agree with you. I think Brock wins this. I think it's quick. Reading all of that Goldberg stuff, like how he like pulled a hamstring doing his entrance. I don't think this can go long. Goldberg has taken one bump in 13 years. He's made millions of dollars and wrestled for maybe a total of 4.5 minutes. I do not think this goes long. I think Goldberg loses and Brock Lesnar celebrates at the end. And then Hulk Hogan comes down and challenges Brock to a match right now.
Oh, man. That would be unreal.
He drops the big leg and he wins.
Only if WWE has a time machine and they could bring like Hogan back from like 84 or something.
No, you got to bring vintage 93 Hogan in. Goldberg's on the outside with salt in his eyes going, "You go, Hulkster, get him."
Oh, my God. Is there a worse WrestleMania than that one, really?
The 9? Like,
looking back, yeah. Is there a worse one?
Whew. That 11 is real bad.
That's like, true.
Lawrence Taylor impresses, but everything else on 11 is going to make you real, real sad about wrestling. So I think it's that one.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. We'll go with 11. But yeah, the salt in the eyes would be perfect. A very vintage touch to that.
Let's move on to Seth Rollins against Triple H. This match has no right to be as exciting and as good looking as it is. They've done a great job. Of the WrestleMania builds, it's like John Cena and Nikki Bella against Miz and Maurice, and then it's Triple H and Seth Rollins. I feel like they've done some really, really great work here with this build, and I am psyched to see this. I am excited to see Rollins return at WrestleMania. I think making it, you know, kind of the unsanctioned match is a cool touch, and I think Seth Rollins goes over here.
I mean, it was the non-sanctioned part of it really, I mean, did that cement it as a good build for you? Or was that just a nice detail?
It sold the injury as something legit because Rollins can't get cleared. Like, it made the match seem more dangerous without really changing anything about what the match would be.
Okay. I guess, you know, there's the, well, this is, you know, this is wrestling angle where you're like, yeah, that, okay, whatever. A non-sanctioned match. But, like, they've had this ongoing public debate with Daniel Bryan about his head injury, and then they offer Seth Rollins, "Oh, you can just sign this piece of paper and come wrestle." You know, I guess there's a lot of fans that have kind of been like, "What?" Like, it caused a few eyebrows to raise, but I guess for the sake of being in universe, it's fine for what it is.
Yeah, and I took it as in universe, and I'm with that Daniel Bryan thing. I think it's kind of ridiculous and silly, but it's kind of one of the ongoing issues WWE has in their universe of, okay, well, we do some things in storyline and then we do some things for real. And that's just a challenge that they have to confront on the reg. Do you think Rollins wins this? Do you think Triple H goes over for some ungodly reason?
I don't know what reason you could have to justify Triple H going over here, unless Seth Rollins is going to be out for an extended period of time and you want to have another match between them when he's fully healed at some future point in time.
But Seth Rollins break out the all white gear?
Oh, who knows?
I need that.
That's a good question. That seemed to be limited to that one match with John Cena, right? That was basically it.
That was the SummerSlam the SummerSlam weekend where everyone winning a title decided to wear white and gold. They're like, Shawn Michaels had it right in 96. I'm doing that.
It was a throwback, definitely.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really know that the gear makes much of a difference. I expect him to be dressed for a street fight. So
it's weird how much I care about the gear.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be in traditional gear. Maybe he will, but
So Triple H will be in like the leather jacket with the jean vest?
Oh, I don't know if it'll be the jean vest, but I could definitely see a lot of leather, some kind of weird,
and that's just like Stephanie
Motorhead inspired crown. Yeah, he'll have the whole thing going.
Yeah, I want leather jacket jean vest Triple H rolling in.
That was one of the most 90s things that he ever did, really.
In the year 2002.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, yeah, grunge is still popular, right? Let's do that.
We're still doing this? All right. Yeah. I can't see a reason for Triple H to go over here either. I think this is Seth's match to win and hopefully get catapulted to bigger and better things. He's finally, after all this time, clicking as a babyface. Do you see Samoa Joe getting involved in this match? Do you see Finn Balor getting involved in this match?
I hope not. I mean, more likely Joe than Balor, But I hope they manage to keep the interference to a minimum. I mean, if you're going to have Balor come back, wouldn't he have a score to settle with Rollins more than anybody? I guess how do a returning babyface coming in and interfering in this match to, you know, to favor Triple H? I guess if they're planning on turning him heel, maybe. But I don't think they want to do that on the first night.
You see, I think where it works is Rollins can say, like, I knew someone had to come in, or Finn can say, I knew someone had to come and even the odds. I know what it's like to be injured and out, and I've got your back, Seth. And, you know, kind of say they bonded. I think Jason's idea of, you know, they were rehabbing next to each other one day and, you know, started talking and found out they had more in common than they had separately. I could just see it as a way to get Finn on Mania. But part of me, too, says, save Finn. Finn opens the show the night after Mania or something, and you get that hyped up WrestleMania crowd before they, or post-Mania crowd, before they jump the shark in 45 minutes in and start chanting, we are awesome, like a bunch of dum-dums.
Yeah, I think he saved the big surprises for Monday, honestly. I mean, not, you know, there's, it's okay to have a few surprises under your sleeve for the Mania card, but I wouldn't blow them all out. Like, you don't need to do all the returns. I mean, I think WrestleMania should be paying off, you know, what they've built. And admittedly, a lot of it isn't very good. So maybe you could justify having, you know, some interference in some of these matches. But save the forward-looking stuff for Monday, because you still have most of that audience. You know, people have been trained to be, you know, to watch the Monday following WrestleMania, and it's a bigger audience than you get at WrestleMania anyway.
That's absolutely true. Do you think they'd ever think about just moving the Raw after WrestleMania to a stadium? That would be the dumbest thing, but I kind of want
Maybe you could run a larger indoor arena, but at some of these outdoor arenas, that would just be a nightmare.
Nah, you just do that outside in Florida.
Yeah, any old place, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's either a stadium or a parking lot. I really don't care which one you do it in. Yeah, I definitely see Joe getting involved here. Finn, I think, is questionable, but I could see. So let's close this out. Undertaker, Roman Reigns, the top legacy babyface in WWE against arguably the top heel in WWE based on fan perception.
You know, I like what Roman did on Monday. I think it was an effective promo. You know, he definitely seems to lean into it a little bit more when they let him show off a little bit of heel tendency, and I think he's
every time he smirks, I want to hug him because he's so good at it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's like, yeah, like, all right, that's perfect. I mean, they don't really let him take on a brand new persona. They just kind of have him play it, you know, the way he would any other time. But it works more when he's playing heelish than it does when he's trying to be charming. So I think we see Reigns get a victory here. I mean, I don't know why you would put the Undertaker over him unless, you know, there's some untapped well of youth somewhere that's going to somehow repair Undertaker's injuries and have him be around for, you know, another couple of years. I mean, it's at the point where his appearances should be memorable in the fact that they make somebody else famous. And I hope, you know, they're able to have a good enough match. That
Undertaker has often threatened to make people famous.
Well, I mean, which is, you know, it's a value that he means it in a totally different way than I do. But it is something that he brings to the table. You know, he can make somebody with a good match. And I hope he gets that out of Roman Reigns on Sunday. I think it would be dreadful if we get another match like he had with Lesnar, where, you know, we've already seen The Undertaker get beat. And if they have a dreadful match, then it's not nearly as surprising if he loses. You know, it doesn't have the same oomph that it once would have, even if the match wasn't as good.
I think this match is going to be electric. I have a lot of confidence that this will be a, if not a Michaels and Undertaker level classic, that it's going to be memorable, that the atmosphere is going to be intense and insane, that people are going to lose their ish during this match. You add in the idea that, hey, some people think this might be Undertaker's last match, but I doubt it. But, you know, you add in kind of that drama, you add in the kicking out of tombstones and spears and Taker going all wide-eyed when he can't put Reigns away, and Reigns looking frustrated and going like, what the cuss, when he can't put Undertaker away. I think this match will be great. I am looking forward to it. I think it's going to be memorable. I think you have a really good chance to do some brilliant stuff with Undertaker and Reigns here.
Yeah, I think the opening spot of the match should be a spear.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I think that would be the direction I'd go. I think you start at full throttle. And
then you have an excuse for it going slow, too.
Right. And then you give them a chance to recuperate, and then they can finish strong. Like, there's a lot to be said about, you know, how Undertaker paces himself and how, you know, he's been able to extend his career, and he's smart about that. So hopefully they put together a match and they've worked on it ahead of time and they've practiced and they know their spots and they're comfortable executing them all. Cause there's this weird old wrestler sort of mentality that when you script something ahead of time, it's somehow less, you know, impactful to the audience or something. But I think this should be one of those that's well scripted ahead of time.
Well, and I know for the last few years, Undertaker, he flies whoever he's wrestling down to his home. They script the H word out of those. They work in Undertaker's ring. I know they have rings set up at the hotel too, and they work out in those. So I assume Undertaker and Reigns will be well rehearsed. I think everything, I think since the Undertaker Batista match has been that way. So you're talking 10 years of mostly great, well rehearsed Undertaker matches. And I do believe you're going to get that here. I think Taker ends this match on his back. Jake, does this match close the show? Because to me, if I'm putting this card together, I don't look at the titles as show closers, but I look at this match and I go, this is it. This is no one's going to get up as going to get as excited as they will for this match.
Yeah, it's a tough thing because I think they, you know, or if does you Shane believe go on the last? Mark.
I put Shane on last.
Yeah, no. I have a hard time believing they're going to go with anything else besides Lesnar and Goldberg, sad as that is. But I think you could easily put this. The problem is if you put this match like leading directly into that, this you're going to have no way they're getting the crowd back. I mean, this match is going to light everybody up. So it's hard to say which way they go with the pacing, but I would hope they would put, you know, if you're not going to put Lesnar and Goldberg at the end of the show, then why not move it like as the peak of like the second hour or the third hour or something, you know, where they can, you know, they can make it seem, you know, as important as they want. And just like, you know, whenever this match happens in the show, it's the main event. But if they're only going a couple of minutes, just fit it in where you know that it's going to light up the crowd, because that's where it has the most value.
Yeah, I think you do this at an exciting point. I just don't see people getting psyched after this match. Like, I do not see people getting up for Lesnar versus Goldberg in the same way. And because it's Undertaker, and honestly, because it's Reigns, and Reigns has main evented the last two WrestleManias, I think you could make it three easily. That's where my vote goes. I think that's where the most excitement is. But hey, I'm with you in that I think they could want to do Goldberg and Lesnar as well, because, oh, it's Brock Lesnar in his big moment. And you may see people filing out of the arena during Goldberg's entrance. What if there was traffic as Goldberg was walking backstage, like a bunch of people just leaving as he's walking to the ring? Like, oh, see you, Bill. Have a good one. Like,
that would be terrible.
Yeah,
that'd be terrible. I get, you know, the thing about Lesnar and Goldberg is that it's like, you know, it's only going to be, I mean, what, 5-10 minutes tops? Like, I mean,
yeah,
you could fit it somewhere on the show, you know, other than the main event, and still have it carry the same level of impact. You know, you have basically, you know, depending on how you want to divide up the main events on this show, a trio or even four matches that you could potentially slot in the main event.
And like John Cena and Nikki Bella against Miz and Maurice.
Well, it doesn't really matter which ones, how positioning is going to mean a lot. I know the Universal Championship is, you know, important to people on, you know, on the Raw brand. But honestly, if it's not the main event, who cares? Put these matches in an order where you think you can keep the crowd. Because if you, you know, put the Undertaker and Reigns somewhere, you know, in the middle towards the end of the show, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting them back. You're going to sacrifice a couple of matches that way.
Yeah, and I think that's the danger. I've also seen, I will say, I had a buddy say to me, like, I think the Raw women's match could go on last this year. And I would probably believe it if I thought that they cared enough. But yeah, I'm far more of a I'm far more of an Undertaker and Roman Reigns slows the show this year type of human.
Yeah, if it's Taker's last match, I mean, if he really has made the decision to call it, I think that's a perfect time to put him on last, even if it's not the championship match.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to see, even if it's not his last match, though. Like, I just don't see something more exciting to everyone than Undertaker this year. I am kind of amazed. I think Jason was saying on the live cast yesterday, like, he did it again. How did he do it again? Where Undertaker keeps being the most compelling part of WrestleMania, but even post-streak, he does it again. It's insane. And this year, I have to say, Roman Reigns is a big, big part of that. So, finally, Jake, what non-WWE thing, one more, that you're excited about this week?
I gotta go with Supercard of Honor. I think it looks like a fun show. Marty Scurll and Adam Cole, Christopher Daniels and Dalton Castle. You got the Hardys and the Young Bucks
in a ladder match.
In a ladder match. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, they have the Women of Honor. I guess it's Colt Cabana. Did I hear he's going to be on color or something? Colt Cabana's on color commentary.
He's on color, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. You know, I don't know. It certainly doesn't have the star power of WrestleMania or something. But, I mean, in terms of delivering solid wrestling action throughout the entire show and having a commentary team that might actually have some relevant pop culture references and humor, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for me, it's actually the WWN Super Show that goes up against NXT. I might be breaking out two monitors to watch this thing, Jake. And it's it has Zack Sabre Jr. against Mark Haskins, Pete Dunne versus ACH, and Ethan Page with the Gatekeepers versus Jimmy Havoc. I'm excited about that. I think you're going to see some really great wrestling on this show. You're going to see some really, really fun stuff, and hopefully it'll be interchangeably great with the NXT show, so I can kind of watch both at once, but not really have to, you know, sacrifice watching NXT to watch it. I'm gonna be wanting to die from wrestles by the end of Saturday, aren't I?
Is there another alternative? I mean, we're
not really. Chrissy's out of town this weekend.
We're all
gonna
be exhausted. Oh man,
yeah, no. She actually flies back in during WrestleMania, and I was like, you know, I'm not picking you up from the airport, right? Like, WrestleMania is happening, and she's like, you're the worst.
So she's got to get an Uber or something to get home?
Yeah, either that or I think it's not much more for her to just park at the airport, and I'm like, I really don't care what you do. You just need to know I'm not picking you up.
Cold-blooded wealth, and it's cold-blooded.
That's some solid husbanding right there. Yeah. I was like, any other day, I'd be there. But no, not this one.
You're going to really need her to follow up on something at some point in your life, and she's going to look back at you and just go, oh, remember WrestleMania? And you're just going to be like, damn it.
And I'll be like, that time I left town for 5 days a bunch of times to go to it, or the time I didn't pick you up from the airport. Which one?
Oh, man. Oh, well. It is what it is. Yeah. Our wives are saints in that regard.
They are very kind. I think she's happier for being out of the house this weekend. That's going to wrap it up for us. Have a great WrestleMania weekend. Jake and I are going to be back with the audio review for .NET members with Jason. It won't just be us babbling on. He'll keep us on track, unlike this show. And thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!